This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 37 of Sunday Supplement. Hello, Izzy.
Hello.
Guess what I found this week.
What did you find this week, Mr. Simon Dunn of the podcast fame?
I found a website called primitivism.com.
Primitivism?
Yeah, and it's a sort of website all about a way of life that rejects technology. I'll say that again. It's a website all about a way of life that rejects technology.
That's quite nice.
Quite funny. I didn't read it.
That is the equivalent of a pig eating bacon. Or a newspaper who can't read.
Do you think newspapers read themselves?
I think they must do.
The Daily Mail wouldn't.
No, it'd be a bit gruesome as well, because imagine you think you're a normal person, and you are a normal person. Everything about you is normal, except one day you're cutting up some sprouts, you're just doing the cross of them so that they steam nice, and actually you slip with the knife and you cut your finger, and instead of blood, words come out. And suddenly you realise you're not a human at all. You're some source of Sunday newspaper. And the reason why you know you're a Sunday newspaper is all the words contain things like middle class frenzy and gardening tips. And this depresses you because you're not even the news section. You're the worst bit. And you have to go and live in a monastery writing out the Bible. But even then, accidentally, when you're writing it out, the head monk comes over and you say, "Hello, head monk." And he says, "One, don't speak to me. You're meant to be in silence. And two, that is not St. Paul's letters to the Corinthians. That is actually tips on how to fertilise your garden." And your whole life would be destroyed just because you are a Sunday newspaper and not a monk. You can never be a monk if you are a Sunday newspaper. It's a tragic thing. Or worse, what if you're like, you know, the Sunday People and you've got, you know, like you had to have your leg amputated. And they did that, but just falling out on the stump of your leg is just a picture of a girl disguising her nipples. That'd be quite cool, actually.
Right. What paper did you buy? Or did one fall out of your veins? I'm confused.
What are you saying?
Really,
are you saying?
Are you a monk? I don't understand. Are you a Trappist monk? Because you're talking. I don't really understand.
Are you saying, Simon, that people can be bought and sold like newspapers? Are you saying that I've bought a newspaper like some sort of slave?
Yeah.
That's all right, because I got the Independent this week and I'm going to boo. I'm going to boom. I'm going to chook-a-chook. I'm going to basically get my arsenal of the Independent and blow it at whatever paper you've got this week.
I don't want you to get your arse out and blow it off at me.
Well, that is how wars start.
I got the mail on Sunday. I have to concede defeat already, I'm afraid.
Yay! Is that because you're a loser and everything you do is rubbish compared to me? But it's not even the fact that you're a loser, it's the fact that I'm just amazing and therefore there's no way you could possibly beat me ever.
No, it's because I think half my supplements were missing from the paper this week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Independent, if any sections are missing from today's newspaper, please call 08701 403 261 or write to us at the Independent Department IND 001 PO Box.
Ray, is that the Independent? Yeah, bits of my mail on Sunday are missing. Doesn't work, does it? You twit.
To be honest, how good would that be? You ring up and you get the Independent instead of the Mail on Sunday. It would have been such an improvement. How do you know bits were missing anyway?
Because I couldn't find them.
How do you know they were meant to be there?
Bound to be a travel section, wouldn't there?
Maybe not. Maybe they don't want you to leave the country. They are quite xenophobic.
Maybe I need to cut my stomach open and then the mail too will fall out.
I think you should try and do that.
Time to decide what we're going to cut out and keep this week then. And to be honest, I've decided to confront my demons.
The Mail on Sunday is full of demons, Simon.
Well, it's got Peter Hitchens in it. I wouldn't really call him a demon. He's like a little dust devil.
He's a dust devil.
Or a Tasmanian devil.
He bites people.
Yeah, I think Peter Hitchens probably does bite people, yeah.
He rounds around and everybody calls him Taz and he goes, "Razzy, fanny, fanny out."
Yeah, he put the Taz in Tasmania down in Tasmania, come to Tasmania, we mean you. That's pretty much the content of his column each week.
That's much better. I can't do Taz. I can kind of do Kermit.
Can you?
Hey everybody, welcome to the Muppet Shop. No, I can't. I really can't. Hey everyone.
Does that count as an accent, by the way?
That does not count as an accent, no. It counts as a frog. Eat that frog, Simon. Get your Sunday supplement-y type cut out and keep out of the way, because it's going to be crap.
Well, talking of people who have columns that go blah, blah, I've decided to cut out and keep Piers Morgan this week.
Oh, that's not nice, keeping Piers Morgan.
Well, cutting him. I'm going to cut him anyway with a Stanley knife.
So it's not really cutting out and keeping.
Well, it's more GBH.
Go on then.
I don't know if you want to hear this.
Well, of course I don't want to hear it. I never want to hear anything you say.
He has a thing on Britain's Got Talent where he says that he can do any act that people auditioning can do only better. So he ended up on stage this week, dressed up as Marilyn Monroe with fake eyelashes, a blonde wig, and red lipstick.
Why would he do that? Did he sing Happy Birthday?
Yeah, he did, actually. He used the phrase, he purred Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
Please tell me Barack Obama was in the room.
With his Secret Service detail, with guns pointed at Piers, yeah. He said that the feeling he got from being on stage, doing something different, which was playing air guitar to Queen's We Are the Champions.
Still dressed as Marilyn Monroe?
I don't think so, no.
Because that would actually be quite good.
But he said it was better than sex with Scarlett Johansson. And then in brackets, he's put, and she knows how good that was.
Oh, no, he's not allowed to have sex.
He's got a whole paragraph about people calling him a c*** in various different ways. Terry Christian did.
Christian did.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Jonathan Ross did on his Twitter.
Good.
He called him a grotesque talent vacuum. And Charlie Brooker from The Guardian.
Yay. Oh, we have to buy The Guardian tomorrow because Charlie Brooker's got a column about unusual sex practices, including injecting your lover's feces into blisters under your skin and then popping them in somebody else's mouth.
Oh. I think I'm going to edit that out. It's disgusting.
Is that worse than Piers Morgan, though?
Well, Brooker's termed the phrase personality, which he describes as a self-consciously odious celebrity who trades on their own widely accepted repugnance to infuriating lucrative effect, thereby creating an unassailable feedback loop of violent loathing in absolutely everyone other than themselves. And Piers Morgan concludes his paragraph by saying that they're just jealous.
You're just jealous. Like somebody wobbling onto the set of Jerry Springer without any bra on, who badly is in need of some sort of emotional as well as physical support. To counterbalance that, I've got a World Pocket History Part 9, Natives in the Americas, which has ritualistic human sacrifice and how to do it.
How to do it?
Well, you see, the Mayans believed that the younger the victim, or the pleased the gods would be, because younger souls were considered purer. So, if sacrifice was not given to Tlaloc, Aztec god of water, the rains would not come, the crops would not grow. So, in order to get Tlaloc to really be effective, you've got to get the child to cry before their ritual sacrifice, so it's best to remove their fingernails. So, yeah.
Hang on, are you suggesting that pulling fingernails out of children is preferable to Piers Morgan? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But the article I wanted to talk about is called Sinking Ship. Blue Peter is suffering a catastrophic fall in ratings, and its fearsome long-term editor, Biddy Baxter, accuses the BBC of killing it off as children's tastes change.
Isn't she accusing it of being the weakest link's fault?
Well, yeah, it's because basically the kid shows used to happen all the way to the news. Now it gives up at 5 p.m. As a result of this, the viewing figures have fallen by a third in the last 2 years. It's also on the same page as middle-class frenzy led to this epidemic. We see many middle-class manias, says Nick Cohen of the Evening Standard, but none has matched the frenzy caused by the false accusation that the MMR vaccine causes autism. Half the cases in the new measles epidemic are in London, with one of the highest concentrations of educated parents. If Wakefield was right, autism rates should have collapsed. In fact, they went up. So that's just yet more people saying the bleeding obvious, that actually people aren't trying to kill your children when they give them measles injections. They're actually trying to save them. Anyway, Blue Peters by numbers. 1958 was the year Blue Peter first aired. The winner of Miss Great Britain 1957, Lila Williams, became the show's first presenter. £100 million raised by Blue Peter Appeal since it started in 1962. Five Blue Peter time capsules have been buried on the show. The first was in 1971, the last in 2000.
One on-air live suicide. Simon Groom finally gave up the ghost as Sarah Green rebuffed his advances for the last time and shot himself through the teeth.
10,000 children have received the Blue Peter badge each year. Notable recipients include Madonna, Tony Blair, Elton John and Gabby Logan.
And Izzy Lawrence, of course.
And Izzy Lawrence, yes. Izzy Lawrence has a Blue Peter badge somewhere.
Up her arse.
No, I know what's up my arse at all times. I reach in and I pull out a doozy.
So your really twee history of Blue Peter is better than Piers Morgan. I will give you that.
And also, we've got the shocking revelations of Peter Purvis. He was a dull, doggy one, the one who didn't skydive, who now says he enjoyed a drunken one-night stand with Valerie Singleton and hinted at a fling with Leslie Judd. Oh, yeah. I just thought I'd hammer the nail in the coffin by revealing that when Noakes, you know, when he went on the Cresta run, he was wearing his wife's undergarments. He had a big bruise, so he wore her silk knickers.
Aren't all the articles in Sunday Supplements farcical?
No, because only one comes out of my bottom, and that is the definition of farcical.
No, that's fartical.
Ah, if I was a prostitute, it'd be tartical.
Yeah, that's true.
If I was an examiner,
yeah,
you know, maybe doing some, like, you know, sats or times tables,
yeah,
I'd be testicle.
Right.
If I only had three wheels, I'd be tricycle.
Okay.
If
you do another one of these, you'd be really annoying.
If I was a type of rodent, I'd be micicle.
That doesn't work. That's not a word, is it?
What is
you can't
word?
Just make up words.
I can make up words. Slodginge. Slodginge.
Tippinickical.
No, tippinickical is a word.
What does it mean?
Testicle. So let's start our own little testicle right now and play article or farcical. Yay! I'm going to read you articles which can be found in this Sunday's Independent on Sunday. And you have to tell me which one I've made up on which genuine articles. Can you do that, Simon?
Yes, the third one.
Are you ready?
Oh.
So, I should be so plucky. This is about a harpist.
See, the word harpist is funny in and of itself.
The hat detective.
How do you detect a hat? Who got a hat on?
Well, he basically is a hat historian or milliner. Match the cheese to the biscuits.
As in, which biscuit's best for which cheese?
Yes, they're not called crackers. That is the main point of the article.
Why aren't they called crackers?
Because only idiots call them crackers. They are actually biscuits, because crackers denotes a type of bread or something. I don't understand. And finally, article or farcical, Simon. Herb your enthusiasm.
Herb your enthusiasm.
That's so we've nice. Got I should be so plucky, the hat detective, match the cheese to the biscuits, or herb your enthusiasm. Which is it?
Well, it's not the third one.
Why?
Yeah. Because you didn't make it
up. I'm going to go with the third
one. It's not a difficult concept. The idea of the game is you make one of them up and three of them are from your papers, right? So the fact that one of them is the one that you made up and that's not the one that I've just said it wasn't, that means that that is why I'm right.
Right. What if you're wrong, though? Or if that was
what
I made up?
That is inevitable, but keep the suspense going.
The dispenser going, is that what you just said? I know you meant to say keep the suspense going, but you did actually say due to your, you know, sort of blocked
it is
up
quite,
nasal
it is quite
whiny
possible
points.
I said dispense, actually.
Yeah, keep the dispense going.
Keep dispensing the suspense.
What do they call those little head things where you click the head Four and they
skins.
Dispense? That's right.
Pez dispensers.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want a Pez dispenser. Shaped like your head and dispensing tiny pieces of suspense that actually don't taste very nice or sit right with your stomach. Anyway, so is it I Should Be So Plucky, The Hat Detective, or Herb Your Enthusiasm?
I'm torn between I Should Be So Plucky and Herb Your Enthusiasm. I think I Should Be So Plucky is farcical.
Okay, so you're saying that The Hat Detective and Herb Pure Enthusiasm are genuine articles that can be found in The Independent on Sunday for the 15th of February 2009.
And the cheese cracker thing.
Okay, well, let's do it in reverse order. So we have Herb Pure Enthusiasm. You say that's an article?
Yeah.
I say it's an article.
Yay!
Actual genuine article. Congratulations, The Independent on Sunday. What a brilliant name for a gardening column. So, Match the Cheese to the Biscuits. That was number three, which you said was definitely going to be a farcical, and then you changed your mind because you have no conviction.
That's true.
And you say that that's an article.
Mm-hmm.
And you are wrong, sir.
Oh, for piss sake, on a bucket with piss in it.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is what they call reverse psychology. When Simon says that he thinks, makes a prediction about which one's going to be farcical, and you go with that prediction, Simon undermines himself.
I'm not simple-minded,
but... You're very simple-minded.
We record this in the morning, and it feels like my head is a giant testicle.
It looks like your head's a giant testicle.
Let's talk technology. Or should I say, let's Twitter technology.
Tweet, tweet, chirp, chirp, tweet, tweet. Yay!
Really, hate the idea of Twitter. I have to be honest.
I've got an article by Toby Young, who doesn't like Twitter either. I think he's kind of misunderstood some of it.
Right.
Because he says there's a built-in discrepancy, which applies across the board, which means it's very difficult to have a conversation. For example, he can respond to someone else's tweet, but if they're not one of his followers, they won't be aware of this response because he doesn't know how to do at replies. If you do an at reply, you can directly to somebody else's tweet. It doesn't matter if they're following you or not. So he's an idiot.
Right.
Because the whole point is with at replies, they don't have to be following you and they'll still, you know, I get people at reply me and I'm not following them and I get that. And then I at reply them and they're not following me. And it's
in my
fine.
Head, what you're saying is...
I'm not Taz.
That's what you just said in my head. I don't know what Twitter is, really.
Twitter is a social networking site that enables you to post regular updates about whatever it is they're doing, cooking
a
meal, playing a
video
game, or whatever. Yeah, but the trouble with Facebook is you have to be a friend of the person in order to see their status.
Why would I want to see the status of someone I'm not friends with?
Because it's Philip Schofield, and he does funny things during the ad breaks. Like he says, well, that didn't go very well, did it? And, oh, that was fun. It's great. Stephen Wright, you can tell when he's getting up and going to bed. I mean, why not?
So it's essentially a way of stalking celebrities without leaving the house.
But also it's a way of stalking people you vaguely know or want to know more about or just getting in touch with people. Like, I tweeted Charlie Brooker because I was surprised that he had a Nintendo Wii. I always put him down as a PS3 guy. And in fact, he tweeted me back and said that he had both. It's that sort of information. How am I meant to live in a world where I think Charlie Brooker only has a Wii and doesn't have a PS3? Because that makes no sense.
But you'd have surely known that Charlie Brooker has a Wii.
I know he has a Wii, but I didn't know he had a PS3. If only the PS3 was called the PIS.
This is a true story. I was driving to Eton the other day and I saw
That sounds like a true story.
Yeah, the veracity of its details is what sells the story. I drove past a car which had the number plate P155ANT.
Pissant. I think that was just maybe it was Declan Donnelly's car, that.
Do you think Ant McFartland, or whatever his name is, has got
I don't know,
one
it's PJ Jeff. And Duncan. Everybody knows they're PJ and Duncan. Why can't they just keep
PJ and
it?
Duncan, man.
PJ and Duncan.
Oh shit, we both just lost this section. Do you know the theme tune to Midsummer Murders?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I think that's Emmerdale.
What is it about Sunday Papers and Midsummer Murders?
I don't know. I've got something about Midsummer Murders. I presume you have too.
Yeah, Midsummer Murders, the top 10 killer facts.
Okay, what's number 7?
Nettles Below met his wife Kathleen Seeley when she was pulled on stage from the audience by Les Dawson.
Les Dawson pulled John Nettles' wife?
Yeah.
That's a bit confusing.
Fact or fiction? John Nettles' daughter, Emma, works for the police force in Jersey.
I think that's true, because I don't think you'd have come up with the Bergerac reference yourself.
That is true. Other actors auditioned for the role include Christopher Biggins and Nigel Havers.
I don't think Christopher Biggins could play John Nettles. I think that's a lie.
Correct!
Yes! One more.
The original title for the series was Barnaby.
I think that's a lie as well.
Really? That's a fact. facts. Yeah. One of their top 10 facts is an episode was part of ITV's Millennium Eve lineup. Is that worthwhile fact?
What, is any fact about Midsummer Murders worthwhile?
I don't know. The village of Hambledon in Buckinghamshire, which was a backdrop for Midsummer Murders, was put on sale for £3 million in 2003.
And how much is worth now?
48 pence.
So why are Sunday newspapers obsessed with Midsummer Murders?
Because I think in every episode, John Nettles reads a paper. That's not true, he doesn't. He doesn't do anything. I really get annoyed with Midsummer Murders because it's fine, but they never do anything other than solve murders.
What, you want him to go on a roller coaster or what?
Well, yeah, John Thorpe doesn't do anything. You know, when he was
John
like...
John never solves crimes.
No, he was rubbish. It was brilliant. Even Helen Mirren runs about and sees her dad a bit.
Gets drunk.
She does get very drunk.
So if you had to choose who you'd prefer to be rubbing up naked against Cracker of all the television detectives, who would you choose?
So I've got to rub two detectives together to try and get some sort of charge.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of them has to be Cracker.
Well, obviously, if it's Cracker, you got to have, you know, Jonathan Creek there, just because you've got more static build-up from Alan Davis's hair. And also, he'd quite like it. Either that, or if you could get the character Monk, because he'd go mental.
I would rub Vic Mackey
up the wrong way.
Up against Cracker's crack.
No! I'd get Vic Mackey and Jimmy McNulty to hold hands for 5 minutes and watch as they got very angry.
Is it me or when Vic Mackey runs into a room with a gun in his hand, he looks like he's just shit himself?
It's because he does that thing with his mouth. And also, you're just immediately reminded of Phil Mitchell. And therefore, you're just thinking of EastEnders, and like, all you hear him say is, "You slag." Which is the Sweeney. That's another guy you got to rub up against. Imagine the Sweeney rubbing against Inspector Morse. That would be...
erotic.
That would be slightly wrong, wouldn't it? It would be a younger version of himself. It would be masturbatory.
It would be masturbatory if I was thinking about rubbing up against Helen Mirren.
Why?
Why does that need explaining?
I don't understand.
What, are you 4 years old?
Can you explain? What? Why? Why?
So, what have we concluded? That John Nettles.
What's masturbation?
Correspondence.
Thank you for writing to us again. We enjoy reading your emails, and thank you for the nice ones, but we don't read those out, do we, Simon?
No, we prefer to read the hate mail, which we do encourage you to write.
If you want to be read out, send us hate mail. Hate mail's good. Have you got any hate mail in your box today, Simon?
Dear plebs.
Aww.
What's the secret word, you piss-tasting twunts?
Well, if you can't get the secret word this week, you're obviously a former bollock.
What have you got?
Oh, I've got some Dear Izzy's. And also Dear Simon, which is a bit weird. I got Dear Izzy. I don't have any problems, and this makes me feel like I don't belong. How can I relate to other people when my life is so perfect? Nigel. And all I have to say to Nigel is I too suffer from this problem. And he has my great sympathies. And there is nothing you can do. I suggest finding someone you can just bully slightly. Someone who's slightly shorter, slightly whinier, older, and much, much inferior to you. Now, fuck off. Also, in my inbox, there's something from a girl here about, like, her boyfriend. I don't care, though, so... There is a Dear Simon, which I was a bit upset about. How dare there be a Dear Simon?
This is ominous. I don't like the sound of this.
And this is very weird. I don't understand this at all, but I think this girl called Laura from Brighton. Do you know a Laura in Brighton?
No.
Dear Simon, what sort of socks is it okay to wear in bed? Yours fashionably, Laura.
Bed socks.
There's your answer, Laura. Now, f*** off. Have you at any point said that you understand socks and fashion?
I know nothing about socks or fashion.
Bloody hell. You need to get on Twitter and discover who this girl is.
Tweet about socks.
Get back in touch, Laura. I think we're in love.
Tweet about socks. If you say that as a spoonerism, it becomes twat about sex.
Well, that is basically you right there.
So if you want to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Yeah, there's no point even talking about it. I've presented one article.
Well, you kind of mentioned Peter Hitchens at some point, didn't you?
Yeah, but he's not in supplements. This is such a come down from last week.
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, not for you, maybe, but, you know, I really enjoyed The Hutch.
Oh, The Hutch. Has he got a book out?
Yeah, I think he's doing his autobiography, isn't he?
I hope that includes the Thatcher incident.
I don't. I really don't.
It will include it.
I want to just make mention of a podcast that I've been listening to this week, which is Little Atoms.
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
It's littleatoms.com, and they have some amazing interviews with people like Jonathan Meads, Francis Ween, John Ronson, Christopher Hitchens, Stuart Lee, Adam Curtis, all the people I really admire and who...
And it's broadcast on Resonance FM, which we've done stuff on, haven't we, Simon?
We have done stuff on Resonance FM.
It's a cool radio station for cool people who are cool.
So have a listen to Little Atoms, but keep listening to us as well.
Yeah, don't replace us with them, because that would be rubbish.
We wouldn't like that, would we?
No.
I'd sulk. I would actually physically sulk.
Well, there'd be no difference to you usually, then.
That is true. I am a little bit of a sulker and a shaker.
A little bit.
And a mover and a maker. Did I just do some rhyming? Did I just chuck down some rhymes?
I think your name's Maurice.
So the paper you should have bought last Sunday was whatever is he had. I can't remember.
Independence! It's Independent. And look, we didn't even do the you can win £10,000 heads or tails. New game starts today.
What's the heads or tails game?
Each day the Independent, you'll be asked a question. To be in with a chance of winning the game, you're asked is to SMS 5 correct answers to 5 questions over the course of the week. Question 1 is printed below. So the question is... The price of a barrel of oil is costed at $45.30 on Friday night, according to page 53 of the Independent's business section today. Will its closing price be higher or lower tomorrow night? And you see, and then you predict whether it will be. And they put it heads or tails because it's either higher or lower or one or the other. And then eventually, after spending a lot of money on text messages, maybe be in the chance of winning something.
All right, I propose we have our own version of this. Next week, who will win? Izzy? Or Simon.
Text Izzy because she's lonely.
No, tweet Izzy to @whatever her thing is.
Izzy_Lawrence. Follow me, peeps. Follow me.
Okay. Wait. And you get the stars going round going, follow me. Wait. Shh. But not Taz. What the f*** am I talking about?
I don't know.
Go away, Simon. Let me go. I mean, we've done the supplement now.
Go on, then.
I've won.
Go.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Next week, we will have a very special guest.
Simon!
What?
Would you like a cup of tea?
Yeah, all right.
Do you want some sugar in it?
Yeah, I just need to finish the podcast.
Oh.
So, as I say, join us next week. We have a very special guest.
Have you eaten all the hobnobs? Was that you? Oh! I found some penguins. I don't know what they're doing in here. They look a bit lost.
Our theme tune is Got Cut.